When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
We say hello to Illinois Congressman, Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy. Congressman, thanks for hopping on with us here today.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. I hope you didn't have to listen to my story of the drunken vice presidential inauguration of Andrew Johnson. Is that a common story that's in the halls of Congress that passes through?
That's the first time I've heard it. So it's not super common.
Okay. Well, tell your friends because it's interesting. Okay. You know, when we talk about the billions and trillions of dollars that we spend as a government, I think it's sometimes hard to encapsulate where that money goes, right? I think that there's bills passed and, you know, it gets in the news a bit and then people just kind of lose paying attention, which is why I'm glad you're here to kind of give us a couple projects that you know are being funded by the government that are really helping out your constituents. You want to start with the fire department in Itasca?
Yeah. So yesterday I actually presided over a beautiful ceremony kind of celebrating how my office secured $2.5 million for a new fire station in Itasca that is north of the train tracks. Now, the reason why this is important, John, is that because of the merger that's about to happen between Canadian Pacific, Kansas City Southern Railroads, it's possible that the new trains that come about because of that merger could be as long as a mile long. Whoa. Simultaneously blocking every single intersection in the village of Itasca, when it comes through. And so if you imagine what happens to emergency response times, they will go up dramatically because the fire station is currently on the south side of the track. So if there's an emergency on the north side, it'll take maybe 10 to 15 minutes to get to an emergency, which could, you know, be the difference between having put out a fire or something kind of getting out of control or someone being harmed or dying. And so I was able to secure through a recent community project funding grant request, $2.5 million. It's going to build this fire station on the north side of the tracks. And I can't wait to see it built.
I know there's a lot of people that like love to say too much pork in Washington, right? And maybe there is, and we could have that discussion another day of what goes where. But I mean, I think that this $2.5 million, I mean, it seems like a no-brainer when you lay out exactly the reasons why it has to be there.
That's right. And, this is a new kind of process for directing funding in congressional districts. It requires tremendous stakeholder support from Republicans and Democrats in the district. But it also requires almost a unanimous passage within the House, within Congress. And that's what happened here. This was passed unanimously, a huge bipartisan victory. And I think that we need to see more such bipartisan action.
Yeah, so actually, was this specific $2.5 million voted on by Congress, or the bigger, broader grant was, and then you had to help your the holders, the people in your neighborhoods to apply for this grant? Can you walk us through how that works?
No, actually, the specific project had to be approved. So the way it works is that each of us is allowed to submit proposals, and we have a pretty stringent vetting system in our office. And I suspect the same is true with a lot of other offices too, Republicans and Democrats. Once it comes in, then we submit it to the Committee of Jurisdiction called the House Appropriations Committee. They then vet every single project and then they vote up or down on the projects as a group. And then once it passes through committee, it goes to the full House. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in that process, they'll say, look, you know, we can't do $2.5 million. We can do $1.7 million. Or, you know what, we don't feel comfortable with this type of project, but we like the fire station. It makes a lot of sense what you're explaining to us. And it has tremendous, local stakeholder support. So So that's kind of how the vetting process works.
So the Biden administration has done a lot of dunking on Congress people who are go to grand openings or ribbon cuttings coming from funding that they didn't vote for. So I guess I want to ask you, Congressman, have you ever touted some legislation or some new bill on a project on an overall bill that you voted against?
I don't think so, but maybe before I speak too soon, I better be careful. But I don't think I have.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, it fair to do that dunk that, hey, they voted against the bipartisan infrastructure bill, but they're out there because they helped steer it to a bridge, even though it passed? Is it fair to attack them for voting no on the bill, but then taking credit for the action?
Yes, because okay. That's called cynicism. That's that person who does that is part of the vote no, hope yes caucus, and I have no time for that. You got to, if you're going to really want something or really oppose something, then you better vote accordingly. And unfortunately, too many people, especially on spending items, what we see is that there's a bunch of people who basically say, look, I think that there's enough votes to support this. I think some of my colleagues will take the heat for doing it. I'm going to vote no so that I can have the rhetorical advantage of railing against it or opposing it, even though I get the monetary benefit of it having passed. And that's just wrong.
Any thoughts on the convention coming up? How do you feel like we're going to balance the freedom of speech of protesters and the safety of Chicagoans?
We have no choice. I mean, we have to do both. And I think those are the exact two principles that should guide, you know, how we conduct ourselves. People should be able to express themselves. At the same time, you know, we can't allow it to boil over into harassment, intimidation, or illegal suppression of speech. And so both law enforcement as well as the protesters need clear guidelines and places where they can do their jobs. At the end of the day, in addition to, you know, nominating and unifying behind Joe Biden, John, I think this is going to be an awesome opportunity to showcase Chicago for the beautiful city that it is, for the, 10,000 journalists who are going to be descending on Chicago in the summertime, along with the thousands and thousands of others who will be visiting the city as delegates and guests. We want them to have a good time. We want them to go and tell their friends how beautiful Chicago is, and we want them to spend their money. We want them to fuel our economy. So we can do it all.
Do you have confidence in Mayor Johnson and Larry Snelling, the police superintendent, to get the job done?
Yeah, I think that they're taking this very seriously. I think that they are one good thing, which I think your listeners already know about, is that the police are training already right now with the different law enforcement, elements of the federal government, from the Secret Service to others, to handling security at this thing. One thing that I'm always concerned about, since I'm a member of the Intelligence Committee, is, just foreign interference. And so we also have to be on the lookout for that as well.
All right, Congressman, I appreciate that. As a son of a firefighter and brother of two, I think this is great what you've gotten secured for Itasca. And thanks for joining us to share it and other questions, too.
Well, thank you. And I just close with a joke that I made yesterday, which is that all people are created equal, and then a few become firefighters. And so we're very, very, very grateful for the service of your family members and all firefighters everywhere.
Thank you, Congressman. All right, go tell your colleagues about Andrew Johnson, okay?
Very good. Thank you, sir.